Friday, 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live, as always, from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, kicking this thing off the right way, bringing Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos on. Zach, my friend, what's the latest with the Broncos? It's hurry up and wait now. I mean, we were hot and heavy for a while, and now it's, well, you know, what are the Broncos going to do with some of these big contracts and, you know, the Deshaun Watson situation? Now, where do we stand, my friend?
Yeah, Brady, what's going on? And it really feels like the off season now. And I have to remind myself, the off season actually started, you know, 7 weeks ago. But now, like you said, things are kind of starting to calm down, feel like an off season. And of course, you know, some news last week about Von Miller. But now things are starting to calm down. George Payton's getting into the swing of things, and he's going to make some big decisions coming up in the next few weeks. But I would expect that to be closer to the middle of March than to anything big to happen right now.
Yeah, Zach, take us through the Von Miller thing, right? Because we hear that it's going kind of nuts last week. Calm down a bit, but where do we stand here on the realistic chances that Von Miller is a Bronco going into next season?
Yeah, so the news last week was pretty much a no-brainer type of news, saying that if the Broncos aren't able to come to a new contract with Von Miller, the team will not pick up his contract option. Well, yeah, and I've been saying that for a long time. Von Miller is not going to be back on the Broncos next year with his current $22 million cap hit, $18 million in cash, Brady. I don't believe, in talking to people, I don't believe that that is going to happen, that he will be back next year. So it is that simple. If Von Miller isn't willing to rework a new contract, and if that's a route that George Payton even wants to take in terms of reworking a new contract for Von, then he will not be back next year. So the Broncos have until the middle of March, March 16th, to pick up his contract option, which would guarantee $7 million of his contract and essentially mean that Von Miller will be back next year. But what the Broncos can do is, if they decline that option, then Von Miller will be an unrestricted free agent and be able to sign with any team. Or what they can do over these next 3 weeks is they can renegotiate a new contract for Von, whether that's just him taking a pay cut this year, which probably isn't that likely, or whether it's Von getting a new deal in terms of an extension, a 2 or 3 year extension on top of that, bring his cap hit down this year, and then also bring the average salary down from around $20 million to something less than that. So the question comes down to, will Von be open to a pay cut and a restructure, and will that be in an extension? Will it just be a one-year deal that Von will be looking at? And I think that it's going to have to be a pretty significant pay cut for the Broncos to bring him back. I mean, we're talking about, he's due $18 million this year. I think we're talking about $10 or $11 million in order for him to be back. So I think it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks, and how we've seen Von react so far to the idea of a pay cut doesn't seem like he's going to be open to a sizable pay cut.
Zach, do you think it'd be an easier decision for Von as far as staying with the Broncos if the Broncos, if he thought that they were closer, if they were a playoff team, if he got that sense? Because, you know, he's made some good money. He has gone to a Super Bowl. He has won a Super Bowl MVP, but maybe wants another one there to really solidify his legacy. Do you think that changes things if you looked at the Broncos with or without Deshaun Watson and said, oh, this is a playoff team, we might have one more crack at this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would help, and it would kind of remind me a lot of the DeMarcus Ware situation when he left the Cowboys in order to play for the Broncos. He saw Peyton Manning on that team. He saw Von Miller on that team, and he saw an opportunity to finally win. Now, different because Von Miller has already won with the Broncos, but that would be a big deal because DeMarcus Ware could have gotten more money than what the Broncos gave him in free agency when he became a Bronco, but he wanted to win. And so I think it would be the exact same thing with Von Miller. We saw really 2 years ago, since we didn't get to see Von last year after the injury, we saw that the losing was really wearing on him. So I think if they were to land a Dak Prescott, a Deshaun Watson, a quarterback that could give them a chance to play right now and compete right now, then he would be more open to that. But unfortunately, as it stands right now, Brady, it's hard to sell Von or any guy on the idea of winning right now for a discount.
Where do you put Vaughn in your, you know, your Mount Rushmore, your greatness setup? I mean, I think most of us agree he's a Hall of Famer. Where is he? Because at one point I thought, man, if he can get the Broncos back into the playoffs, maybe he's in that top three up there with Elway. Not going to pass Elway, but in the TD Shannon Sharpe range. Where do you put him?
Yeah, and I think where you start for this, at least an easy place for me to start, is you look at Super Bowl MVPs. And so you have TD, you have John Elway, and you have Von Miller. Now, it helps that all of those guys did a lot of other things besides just the Super Bowl MVP. So I think he's up there. And then you said for that fourth guy, you can look at Floyd Little, the franchise. You can look at Shannon Sharpe. There's a lot of other places to go there. But I think that's easy. You got the Super Bowl MVP, and you've done a lot of other things, including the franchise leader in sacks. I think Von's up there. Even if his career with the Broncos is over right now and he doesn't play another snap with them, he has certainly left a huge imprint on the Broncos and is likely to be a Hall of Famer as well.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. All right, let's go over to the quarterback side of things. You mentioned, okay, Deshaun Watson, we've all said that name a bazillion times, but Dak Prescott. So you mentioned Dak Prescott. Now, everything I've been reading, and again, this has changed recently because it was leading up to, well, the Cowboys are going to figure something out, but not so fast, right?
Yeah, not so fast. I can't believe that they didn't learn from last year, Brady, and see how important Dak Prescott is to them. I thought Dak's injury was going to make it so Jerry Jones signed Dak Prescott to a long-term contract right away, but it doesn't seem like that. And I can't imagine that they'd just let him hit the free agent market. But what they could do again is they could tag him again or sign him to a long-term deal and a sign-and-trade sort of deal. It's crazy that teams aren't taking care of their franchise quarterbacks, Brady. I mean, I just can't imagine the Broncos getting a franchise quarterback and then not just agreeing to pay him whatever he wants. And that's what it is in today's NFL. And now we're seeing the quarterbacks really kind of do what NBA players have done. And now they're starting to get a voice and determine where they get to go. So it's you just have to make your franchise quarterback happy. It's just as simple as that, and the Cowboys aren't doing that. And so it would be interesting to see what a sign and trade would potentially look like for Dak Prescott. Now, there is some risk because he's coming off that big injury, but he's a guy who's going to make $35, $40 million a year, and he's very interesting because he's obviously going to get elite money wherever he goes. Is he an elite quarterback? I kind of put him on the borderline of that. Right now, I put him probably the top of tier two. So he's not elite, but he has the chance to become elite. So you are taking a little gamble there with Dak. But still young, still would have a lot of time. He would probably play another contract or two.
Where are we with Houston? You know, Houston's staying fairly consistent that, you know, Deshaun's going to stay there, but I mean, at some point, you have to look at, you know, the Bengals were in this position, and they finally gave in with Carson Palmer. When do you, what do you see, how do you see this ending with Houston, and is there any way they sit at the table with Deshaun and say, you know, let's make another go, we're sorry for being a terrible organization?
Seriously, I mean, I don't know how they're going to get to the table with him if he's not even going to answer their phone calls. So it just seems like Deshaun wants to be anywhere but Houston, and there's been no indication that he's going to back down in any sense from that, including potentially, you know, missing the offseason program, which may not happen anyways. But it does seem like Deshaun is very serious about this, where if the Texans don't trade him going into the season, he may not play for them because he may not want to give in to them at all. And unfortunately for the Broncos, I think this is something that's going to take a long time to play out because I think the Texans are digging their heels in for the long term. But that is not smart for the Texans. If the Texans want to change their appearance to the world in any way, it would be smart for them to trade Deshaun sooner than later. But also for them, planning right now before the draft would be smart for them to trade Deshaun as well if they really don't think that they're going to be able to keep him, which it doesn't seem like they will. But if they wait until after the draft to trade Deshaun Watson, then they're trading for picks that are unknowns. Mm. Where right now they could probably get the second overall pick, the third overall pick, the ninth overall pick, and any team that gets Deshaun Watson is probably not going to have the second or the third or the ninth overall pick next year unless they're the Houston Texans, who would have had that if they didn't blow it by trading away that pick. So trading him before the draft is so much more valuable to them. And because they don't seem to be a good organization, Brady, I have no confidence that they're going to trade him before.
How much of a risk with George Payton? I mean, again, Deshaun's a sure thing. I think we all agree on that. Whether we agree on the price or not is kind of not the point. But we all agree that Deshaun Watson's a very good quarterback. He's up there with the elite status. But if you risk it, if you trade all these draft picks that you and I have been talking about, you trade a player like Bradley Chubb or whatever, and it doesn't work out, what does that do for, I mean, how big of a risk is that for George Payton, knowing there's going to be new owners coming in eventually? They're going to look at that move first and foremost and basically say, did it work out? Did it not? Did we pay too much?
Yeah, it would be a huge blow to George Payton and the Broncos, not just for this year and next year, but for probably the rest of George Payton's contract, because we're talking about trading potentially three first-round picks. And you really want those first-round picks to start being a huge player for you, be that Pro Bowl level in year two or year three. Well, that pretty much takes you talking about, you know, a first-round pick 2 years from now, talking about that type of player being a player for you 2 years from then, that takes you to near the end of George Payton's contract, the six-year contract. So that would really, really hurt you if, for some reason, Deshaun doesn't work out. But that's the good thing about the Deshaun Watson trade, is you know the type of player and person you're getting. Whereas if you draft a guy at 9, you have no idea. You're taking a big risk. But then again, you're not giving up nearly as much. You could turn back around next year and with your first-round pick take another quarterback. If you trade for Deshaun Watson, you're not going to be able to turn around and draft a quarterback next year if for some reason it doesn't pan out. Or you're not even going to be able to do it the year after either, because you're not going to have those first-round picks. So it certainly would be him going all in. And that's just why I'm a little hesitant. Outside of Deshaun Watson, I'm a little hesitant that George Payton's going to go all in on something this year, because by the time the draft comes around, he's only going to have been on the job for 4 months. He may want to wait until next year to make his big move at quarterback if it's not a pretty much sure thing with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's so interesting because we've all said it about the draft. Hey, it's a crapshoot. But if you decrease your chances of getting great players, then yeah, it's really going to be tough. And I think that's been the scary thing for me is, no, I'm not convinced that just because they're at number 9 and Patrick Surtain comes in, whatever, I'm not convinced that just automatically makes him a big time franchise player. But if you lose three of those guys over time, which who knows what round or what position they'd be in, you decrease those chances. So, again, there is so much to weigh here, because this decision, whether it's Deshaun Watson or you stay the course, is going to perhaps define his career for the next 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It very well could. And if he gets Deshaun Watson, he's feeling pretty good about signing a second contract, whereas there's no other guys where you would feel as good about that in the draft this year outside of a Trevor Lawrence thing. And another thing that you have to take into consideration with it is George Payton is a draft and develop guy. That's something that he stated right when they hired him. That's something that Joe Ellis and John Elway made very clear. It's part of the lifeblood of the Broncos now, as George Payton said, is drafting and developing. But it would be quite a move to come in saying drafting and developing is how you're going to run an organization, and then a couple months later trade all of your valuable draft assets for the next 3 years in order to get a quarterback. Now, I am still doing that because the quarterback is just that important. But for people that are skeptical, there's reason to be skeptical that George Payton would be willing to do that.
Why do you think Deshaun, you shared this last week, the odds of where Deshaun Watson's going to land? The Broncos are number one. That's up there. What do you think is going on there, Zach? What have you seen? Why would he choose the Broncos at this stage?
Yeah, holy smokes by that. That is just crazy. Multiple sports books have the Broncos as the clear favorites, really, to land Deshaun Watson. And a reason for that would be just the weapons that he has. And it reminds me a lot of Peyton Manning picking the Broncos back in 2012. And the Broncos, were they a great team? No, they weren't. They were 8-8. They went to the playoffs. They had an incredible run with Tim Tebow, but they weren't a 13-3 team that Peyton Manning was coming to. But what they were was a team that had so many weapons on offense that were just waiting for a quarterback to come in and take off with them. You can look at the Denver Broncos right now and say the exact same thing about the offensive side of the ball. So many young, talented players that are just need that quarterback to come in, and then they could take off, and not just for the next 2 years. Deshaun Watson could have Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, he could have all of these guys for 5 to 10 years playing at elite level with him. So that's what would be appealing to him. Now, Deshaun has connections to Miami. He has connections to Carolina in terms of just his personal life. So those teams make sense in that regard. Miami, of course, a little bit better than the Broncos last year if you just want to look at record. But I don't think any team offers a better set of weapons for Deshaun to come in and put up great numbers right away. And then, by the way, you have a defensive head coach who should probably have the defense being pretty good. But Deshaun may say, I want my offensive coach, or I want an offensive coach in here. So that would obviously hurt the Broncos.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting, man. I know you're all over this. You guys are constantly working on it, putting stories out there, putting podcasts. Zach, what are you working on recently that we could check out via Twitter or DNVR's website?
This week, I'm wrapping up my expectations series, looking at KJ Hamler's rookie season, and then also looking at players that the Broncos can't cut, because Broncos may need some salary cap space if they want to sign a Dak Prescott or something like that. But there's some players that the Broncos can cut to free up cap space, and there's also some players they can't cut. So taking a look at all of that, as George Payton's doing that as well.
Yeah, it's always excellent stuff from you, my friend. Appreciate your time. And, well, again, we'll see where we are next Monday.
Absolutely. I mean, Brady, it's the offseason, but we know with the Broncos, that doesn't really exist.
So many question marks around this team. And again, whether it starts with the quarterback or Justin Simmons or Von Miller, I mean, there's a lot of storylines to follow along. And man, we appreciate you rolling along with us. Love what you do with DNVR. You guys are killing it. And we'll catch you up with you next Monday.
I can't wait. Thanks, Brady. Have a great week.
All right, man. You too. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Excellent guy. Follow him at Twitter or on Twitter at ZAC. Stevens, DNVR. Zach Stevens, DNVR. Power to Play Sports poll question. It's not Broncos related. Based on what you've seen so far with the Nuggets, how far are they going in the playoffs? How deep into the playoffs are they going? I mean, I didn't even put this option up there, Colfax, but there's some hooligans that are like, are they even going to make the playoffs? All right, they're making the playoffs. There's no way that's going to happen. This team will get it figured out enough to get in the playoffs, but how far? Second round exit, first round exit. They'll make it to the Western Conference Finals, win it all, or advance to the finals. 37% of the hooligans say second round exit. All right. So you have them taking a step back. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, considering the competition in the West. But my expectations are pretty high, and we'll talk about that throughout the day. Today, a lot to get to. Kevin Lytle will join me in the second hour to talk about the Mountain West Conference, the tiebreakers. If Colorado State beats Air Force twice, what does that do? Boise State and San Diego State are a huge, huge matchup later this week. And we'll talk about that. We'll get to my good, the bad, and the ugly. UNC's back at it tonight. Thankfully, get the Bears rolling again. So much to get to, so little time. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Again, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. When we do come back, we're going to get into our poll question. But what's my ugliest story from the week? We'll talk about it next. A
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Let me tell you about our friends over at SCL Mortgage. Their website is myspecialmortgage.com. They're family and veteran-owned, and you guys have heard that interest rates are at all-time lows, so now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have, car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax-deductible, and your house payment is. They've been serving Colorado for 20 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They're here for you guys, whether it's your bank statement loan for self-employed folks or a VA conventional or an FHA loan with no credit overlays. Call them at 970-444-1222. That website is myspecialmortgage.com. Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was presented by FMS Bank. Well, this wasn't a local story, but we were all watching this game on, was it Friday night? Boise State, Utah State. This was a hell of a game, a hell of a series. Boise State manages to sweep Utah State. Yeah, that's going to probably knock the Aggies out of the March Madness discussion, but this was a great game.
Armish to Alston.
And that is a big-time cut by Derek Alston. Armish does a great job delivering that pass for the two-hand jam.
Four-point lead. Big-time win. Boise State sweeps Utah State on Wednesday night and tonight.
Loved it. Loved the game. Now we turn our attention to, obviously, CSU has Air Force, at least for the time being. We know those are the two games scheduled for the Rams coming up this weekend and on into Monday. So the Rams got to win that. We'll talk about it. But also, Boise State, San Diego State. I believe perfect scenarios, they split. And the Rams take care of business against Air Force and... You win the regular season Mountain West title, you're in. We're gonna get the tie breaking scenarios with Kevin coming up. Kevin Lytle of the Colorado in the second hour. My bad story. Well, the Nuggets lose to Atlanta, but this is a 16-14 team right now. I mean, you got an MVP on the team, right? I mean, he's right up there. Jamal Murray is starting to get it right. Yet you still can't play defense, and I do question Mike Malone, some of his decisions. The Nuggets were supposed to be a top-tier team, and we got a poll question that's like, how deep do you think they're really going to go? Go to thewholeshow.com to answer that. I'll read through the percentages as they change all the time. That's bad. How about the ugly? The outdoors game. Well, featured the Avs, so okay, that's pretty cool. Golden Knights, the Avs, Lake Tahoe. I mean, it was spectacular, right? All the pictures and videos, and if you watched the game, it was beautiful. But that nasty sun, Colfax... It reared its ugly head. The ice conditions were not so good. There was a gigantic delay between the first and second period of this game. And this is the game, we were talking about it with folks, supposed to grab the casual fan, right? It's so beautiful. It's so unique. It's got a different feel to it. And then the ice. I mean, what do you do? What can you possibly do? There's really not much. The sun's going to win that battle 100% of the time. The only thing you can really do, Colfax, is not have that kind of game and put yourself up for that risk. But I think it's probably worth the risk. I mean, it's neat. It works. We're talking about it. I don't talk a lot of hockey on this program, but I think it's something that's worth the risk, even if that's happened. I mean, it was a bad look for the NHL, but Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, said, "Hey, we've done over 30 outdoor games." He told NBC. Like, this has been the most difficult weather circumstances we've had, and it's a beautiful day. But if you look up at the sun, the cloud cover is everywhere but where the sun is, and it did a number on the ice. You know, my first thought was, it's gimmicky. That's what happens with gimmicks. But, I mean, honestly, it never really happens. So you take it as it's kind of a loss, maybe a rough look, but ultimately, I mean, got to think people understand. That's just Mother Nature's going to win that battle. Still kind of fun, though.
Well, wasn't there issues last year when they played... outside of Air Force Academy.
It was the parking thing, right?
Right. Just a huge debacle of like trying to get people in and out of there.
They couldn't figure out that situation. That was pretty... And see, that one you can control. You right. got to figure that out, but that one is a worse look. Yeah, you couldn't get people in. And people... this is like shortly before the COVID shutdown too, wasn't it?
I think it must have been.
And people like missed portions of the game early on because they couldn't...
They're like stuck for like hours just sitting... Yeah. Trying to get in.
That one's a bad look. But, yeah.
It's just funny when you try to do these different things.
Yeah, you gotta anticipate a huge crowd for that.
I would think.
And figuring out how to get people in. I mean, there's nothing worse than bad parking situations when you go to games with thousands. I mean, that's the worst situation.
Terrible.
Parking's a big deal, Colfax.
It is.
That's why we're adding that to the review portion of this week. When we get to our review... it's official. We're going to do William Oliver's Colorado Pub and Eatery in Fort Collins. Susan and Cheryl, excited about that. I'm looking. They got like these gourmet hot dogs, man.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm a hot dog guy, so.
I'm in.
I might go for that. You coming?
I'm there.
So Friday at, I don't know what time. But we booked it. I booked it. We're set up. We're good to go.
Sweet.
So we're gonna review everything though. Like, this isn't a we take a bite and we review the dish.
No gimmicks.
No gimmicks, because I might do a hot dog and give it a great review, and then you might go there and not like hot dogs and you want to order a cheeseburger or something. So the point of this is we are going to review the parking situation. Like,
it's important.
Sucks to get in, I'm going to let you guys know. Hey, you probably want to give yourself time. We're going to grade the interior portion. What's the setting like? You know, is it uncomfortable? Is the air conditioner on when it's 3 degrees outside? Seriously, that's a problem, right?
When it
you
is.
Sit
it can
down
be.
And you won't want to sit down and eat your food on a cold day and there's air just hitting you. It's like those kind of things we're going to talk about. And then the food, of course. And then we're going to lump it all together for one big review. I think we're going to call like the whole review.
What else would you call it?
Right?
What else would you call it?
It's short, simple. And we do review it all. So it's going to be a good time. I think we're going to get the fellow like NoCo Now, Tanner Schwent. We're going to get, I think Chad's coming with us from Brew Talk. He owns the tavern at St. Michael Square. He's a master chef. So getting his feedback
is
going to be good.
Yeah, important.
Yeah. So pumped for this. This will be our first one. We are taking suggestions, but we're going to try to do a couple of these a month. And, you know, we're excited for it. It's going to be a good time. But there's two locations. One's in Fort Collins, one's in Denver. And
right.
I had to clear that up this morning. It's like, wait, we're not going down to Denver, man. But it looks cool. Like, this looks like my kind of place.
So I don't even know where it's at. Where is it at in Fort Collins?
Mm-hmm. You would ask me that question.
I would ask you that. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Okay. Oh, okay. 2608 South Timberline in Fort Collins. So
probably like in a newer development then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think where. Yeah.
Yeah, I know where that's at.
Okay. Is it near? How close to the? It's not Timberline. I'm just trying to think of how close it would be to the mall area. Well, the mall area that no one's using anymore. But it's got to be a few miles south of there, I'm guessing.
I think so.
Yeah. Pumped for this one. If you guys have gone, let me know. This is going to be real simple. Scale from 1 to 10. 10 being you better get there now if you haven't. Like, go right now. 1 is like, just forget this ever happened. You don't even want to know the name of this place. Stay. Well, you do want to know the name of this place, so you stay away from it. Eastside Chris, Brady Colfax, rabbit hole question. I love that. I love that he's branded that now. That's amazing. Possibly. Attain McCaffrey for trade picks and Gordon. Live another year with Locke. Bite the bullet. Play Bronco defense football. Charlotte needs a draft pick, or Carolina needs draft picks for Watson. Maybe think about it. Way out there, I know. McCaffrey, see, the only way I think Carolina trades McCaffrey is if it's a part of the Deshaun Watson deal. I don't see McCaffrey come. I don't see Carolina moving him unless, and they are releasing players left and right. They are signaling we are going after Deshaun Watson. They're letting people go. And I did hear a rumor over, and again, it's just that McCaffrey could potentially be a part of that deal for Deshaun Watson. Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be crazy.
Poor Christian McCaffrey, one of the best players in the NFL. Just, hey, you get Deshaun Watson, but like, imagine that meeting. Christian, come here, man. We got some news. We're bringing Deshaun Watson to Carolina. What? That's amazing. We're going to be, yeah. But you're part of the deal. So you're going over there, Houston. That would kind of suck, right? But I am with you on this, Eastside Chris. Build the defense. Live another year with Locke. You know, again, I've talked about this a lot. Here's what's interesting about this situation. This is a defining moment in George Payton's career already. Never been a GM before. What he does with this move. Now, if word gets out that the Broncos could have got Deshaun Watson for the price we've talked about, the 3 firsts, the 2 seconds, the 1/3, the player like Bradley Chubb, if word gets out that Houston would have done that, Broncos didn't like it, didn't push hard enough, then that's going to be something that's out there, and we're going to judge George Payton by that. And if the quarterback situation, which, you know, doesn't work out, Denver doesn't build up a good defense in the next 2 years, and they get back in the playoffs, then that's going to be a move that we forever judge George Payton on, just like Josh Allen is a big move for Elway. The fact that he didn't draft Allen. Elway's had a lot of those. You know, his first few years, everything he decided to do worked. Hire John Fox, worked. Bench Kyle Orton, replace him with Tim Tebow, worked. You know, Von Miller worked out, that draft pick. Fire John Fox. Well, whatever. They agreed to part ways. Hire Gary Kubiak. Worked. Take a risk and let the world know you're going after Peyton Manning. That worked. All those things worked. Then after the Super Bowl, you start seeing things not work as much. You know, you gave Von Miller the massive contract. Did he live up to the contract? Probably not. If you want to do dollars and cents, probably not. You know, and quarterback carousel didn't really work. Releasing guys, not making deals with these guys when he should have made a deal with this guy. Drafting Bradley Chubb, moving on from Shaq Barrett. So, again, Elway had a bunch of these little defining moments early on that all worked out. Now, they stack up. This move, or lack thereof, will be the biggest one, not just in George Payton's career. I mean, if you bring Deshaun Watson over here, this is going to be the biggest move, one of the biggest moves in Broncos history. Maybe bigger than Peyton Manning, because he was a free agent signing. So all you had to do was spend money. This, you have to give stuff away, a lot of stuff away, in order to get him. So this move could perhaps be the biggest one. And if you don't push harder, and then it gets out in the media that, because it will, if this deal doesn't get done and Deshaun goes somewhere else, if the Broncos were close to an agreement with Houston, and it just was the matter of, it was just the fact that Denver didn't push hard enough, wasn't willing to give away what we've outlined, then there's going to be a lot of fans upset with that. And then if next year is a train wreck and Drew Lock's awful, okay, well, George Payton failed. The next year you get a guy in the draft, whatever, and it still doesn't work out, then George Payton failed. Dixon says, is living another year with Locke really an option? Aren't you hoping you don't have this high of a draft pick again? If you live another year with Locke, then what next year? What does that actually look like down the road? Yeah, living another year with Locke is actually a really big option. If we were doing the odds game here, there's a better chance the Broncos are living with Drew Locke for one more year. The reason being is because, what did I say before George Payton was hired? That this feels like a tweener year. This feels like a year that's not really that... the pressure's not really on because you don't know your ownership situation. And John Elway just kind of stepped down, whatever that means. This just feels like a strange year. So you can see why if they don't get extremely aggressive, I could see why. 41 minutes after the hour. When we come back, Colfax, what do we got next? Okay, UNC Bears back at it tonight here on 1310 KFK. We'll talk about that. Also, let's get to our poll question. How deep do you think the Nuggets are going to go, based on what you've seen so far? First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Forty-seven minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Cancel Tom Brady, Mark? Really? How about you get a defense good enough to cancel Tom Brady? I don't like this whole... Cowherd, who we play on this program, or on this station, he used to say, okay, LeBron, the NBA doesn't need you anymore. Go on and do... you can retire now. It's safe. The NBA is in good hands. Why are we in this position of wanting this greatness to go away? I mean... as long as Tommy Bones is still winning titles, LeBron James is still winning titles, why would they go away? It doesn't make any sense. You might be annoyed. Great. Encourage your team. Encourage your neighborhood football team to get a better defense. I love the negativity toward Tom, man. I mean, it cracks me up. You're tired of hearing it. Do you get tired of hearing Michael Jordan's name, too? I mean, I don't. The dude's doing something historic, continues to be a historic quarterback. I mean, you talked about this, Colfax, before the Super Bowl. What's this going to do to put Mahomes' legacy now? Because not only does he have to catch Tom in Super Bowl titles, but he lost head-to-head. In the biggest game. And, I mean, yeah, that defense was all over it, but Tom on the other side did what he had to do to help his team win. I mean, what... cancel Tom Brady? Yeah, no.
Isn't that like a thing in sports? It's like putting someone into retirement because you beat them?
Yeah.
They're so good?
Yeah. Force them to go out. I mean, you were sick of Peyton Manning? Well, I mean, finally time just caught up to him. Father Time caught up to him. You know, it's... I don't understand it. Because, like, looking at LeBron, the dude is still sky high when he dunks a man. I mean, he's doing things at an older age that none of us can imagine. And then Tom Brady, too. I mean, I'm definitely not one of those guys. I respect and appreciate greatness. Are there players' names I get tired of? Sure. Are there actions I get tired of? Like, again, LeBron has some annoying flopping tendencies that drive me crazy. But basketball-wise, when he's playing actual basketball, I'm pretty much unstoppable. 49 minutes after the hour. Do you want to thank Auto Taylor? We know that everything revolves around technology, so having a skilled technician paired up with cutting-edge vehicle diagnostics is just as important. That's Auto Taylor in Greeley. I take my cars to them, my vehicles to them, and they've been taking care of me for a very long time. Texter says, so do you tank if you keep Locke? If you don't tank, you're right back to where you started in no man's land. I just don't. Again, the price is too much for Deshaun Watson. I just think it's way too much. First round pick, or a, you know, first round number 9, and next year's number, you know, second round pick, and maybe a player. But I mean, you're talking what? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're talking 7 to 8 players. And yes, I agree. The draft can be a crapshoot, but if you give me 3 chances at drafting in the first round, I'm going to expect, you're terrible at your job then. I'm going to expect one of those guys to turn out. And that's why you brought George Payton here. What's the number one reason you think, the number one flaw Elway has had? Kind of the draft, right?
Just quarterbacks mostly.
Yeah, mostly the quarterback situation, the draft, all that. George Payton coming in, that's where he's supposed to be. That's his specialty. He said it when he got hired. You know, I'm going to build through the draft. That's where Elway has struggled. I mean, he's had some hits, but for the most part, he's had more misses. That's first round all the way to the 7th. So this is your chance to get George Payton. Have him take a crack at it right now, early. And this is, hopefully, this is your best draft pick you're going to have in a while. I don't know that I'm saying I believe Drew Locke, but I'm saying if Pat Shurmur can find a way to make this team a better rushing attack, a better running team, more consistent, figure it out better, you know, not running Phillip Lindsay up the gut on 3rd and inches. You know, feeding the hot hand more, getting a feel for who the guy is. If he can get that right, and then if Vic Fangio can get the pieces he needs to create this monster defense, I think that's how you're going to win games. I think that's how you'll do it. I think that's how you get in the playoffs. 8 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break. My game of the week, we'll get to that coming up next. I always put out my game of the week. We announce it on Monday. Some big games coming up throughout the course of the week. Also, more on the Denver Nuggets. Where are they? After what you've seen so far, how deep into the playoffs are they going? We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Game Beer of the Week, available now at On the Rocks Liquor. Remember, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary, if you can believe it. Game Beer of the Week this week is from the Boulder Beer Company. It is a bubbly IPA. Pick up selections from Boulder Beer Company or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. Use the drive-thru. It's open until midnight. And also want to remind you, Molly Brown Spirits from Denver is available there. Bourbon Whiskey and Rye Whiskey. This is available up here only at On the Rocks Liquor. So tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Love On the Rocks Liquor, man. They're right off of 47th Avenue, kind of catty corner from Buffalo Wild Wings off of Highway 34. All right, when we come back, I'll hit my game of the week. More on the Denver Nuggets. A lot to bust into. Kevin Lytle breaking down the Mountain West Conference and Colorado State's chances of winning the regular season title for the first time since they've been in the Mountain West. All that and more coming up next.